Friends to the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five and a pastor of a church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Steve Vaughn, also in studio with me, a homeschool father of six and a board member for the Generations Ministry. And today we're going to talk about the spiritual forces. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's important for us to know that we are engaged in spiritual battles. So often we think they're merely academic arguments or intellectual arguments. So often we reduce things to personal conflicts between, you know, two people in the church, for example. But I think we need to understand that there's a spiritual element that works around us, and that is the spiritual elements of the demonic world. Certainly, we wrestle not just against our own flesh, but also against the world and against the prince of the power of the air, the prince of this world, and that is Satan himself. And so here's an article from Drudge Now. The Vatican apparently is training priests in exorcisms, but it's because there's a huge increase in terms of reports of demonic activity, at least in Italy, but also other countries around the world. Apparently, the Vatican-backed International Association of Exorcists, which represents more than 200 Catholics, Anglican, and Orthodox priests, intends to train over 250 soldiers of God from 50 countries around the world in an exorcism ceremony to combat Satan's agents on earth. Again, this is Drudge Now. Why the rush all of a sudden? Apparently, we're facing a so-called pastoral emergency at the moment. According to a report from Christian think tank Theos, 500,000 people in Italy claim to have been demonically possessed just last year. It's got to be pretty high. It's got to be, you know, 8% or something.
Yeah. Wow. So
that's a huge percentage of people complaining of demonic interference. Now, not to mention other countries such as the United Kingdom, Ireland, reports of possession are on the rise. So Pope Francis has even stated that priests must not hesitate to refer members of their parishes to trained exorcists, provided they are suffering from genuine spiritual disturbances and so on and so forth. So they've got training program for these folks. According to Catholic.org, the rite of exorcism involves a priest dabbing the sign of the cross on the possessed victim's forehead with holy water before reciting the litany of saints and then proceeding to read Bible passages to draw the demons out of their vessel. The priest invokes the name of Christ and will ask the demon to leave their body. The priest will say, "I command you, unclean spirit, wherever you are, whoever you are, along with all your minions now attacking the servant of God by the mysteries of the incarnation, passion, resurrection, ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you tell me by some sign your name and the day and hour of your departure," and so on and so forth. So that's the article that comes from this secular news source, Drudge Now. And so I think we want to discuss this today. Now, you know, one of the things that we have to watch out for is there is a fair amount of exorcism that is reputedly happening through priests belonging to the Sons of Siva exorcism department, and that's not healthy.
No.
You remember the Sons of Siva?
Yeah, they were unable to cast out any demons. Yeah, weren't they the ones that got beat up and thrown out naked? And,
Yeah. That was them in the book of Acts. You remember they were saying in the name of Jesus, the name of Paul, and the demon says, "Paul, we know, and Jesus we know, but who are you?"
Right.
So that's not a good position to be in.
No.
Yeah. But is there a rise of demonic activity in the Western world? And I have to say there must be something of that. Now, I treat that in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, because there are clear references on the part of the great philosophers of the 19th century who were very instrumental in opening the floodgates to the sheer evil that has overcome the Western world. And these philosophers, many of whom would acknowledge Lucifer. They would talk about Lucifer. I'm talking about Mark Twain, Friedrich Nietzsche, and John Paul Sartre, and Karl Marx. These men acknowledged it. It wasn't just other people saying it. They acknowledged their alliance with Satan. Mark Twain, for example, at the end of his life, wrote Letters to the Earth, which were letters penned from Satan himself to the archangels. And,
wow.
And he acknowledged that and told his daughter not to publish these or, you know, something terrible would happen. Now, they were published in the 1950s, I believe, some 40, 50 years after Mark Twain died. Now, of course, it's important for us to understand the influence that the demonic world had on guys like Nathaniel Hawthorne, Mark Twain, Karl Marx, Friedrich Nietzsche, and others. There, there was tremendous spiritual satanic influence going on in America in the 19th century. Abraham Lincoln invited witches into the White House. He and Franklin Pierce were the two presidents in the history of the United States that invited witches into the White House to conduct seances. People have said, and this is obvious historical records that we include in our upcoming American history course that we are releasing called In God's Providence. But it's important for people to understand the history of America in terms of inviting satanic forces to operate in this country in the 19th century. So I think also the music business has been infiltrated by satanic influences. There should be almost no question about that because these musicians themselves acknowledge it. Remember David Bowie, who was in the home of one of the members of the Led Zeppelin band, and he said the house was completely filled with demons.
Yeah.
And he crawled out a window to try to get out of it. He says it was a horrendous experience. So that's, of course, in my book, Apostate, the Men Who Destroy the Christian West as well. But I think people need to understand that we have unleashed, we have welcomed as a nation, we have welcomed satanic influence through our philosophers, our literary giants, and our musical influences of the last 50, 60 years, at least.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you had the rise of the death metal bands and things like that during the 80s and 90s. And I'm sure they're still going on now, too. Slayer was one of them who actually said that they were demon possessed and that they worshiped Satan and things like that. It was crazy.
And it continues with Marilyn Manson and others as well. But friends, also one more reason why there's demonic activity in this country is because there's far less Christian influence in this country. You interview the number of people believe that the Bible is God's word. It's dropped off from some 40% to 23%. So there's half of the people who claim the Bible was the word of God in 1980, 37 years later, right now, there's only half of those people would claim the Bible to be the word of God today.
Yeah, and even less that actually say that they live a biblical lifestyle.
It's only 5 or 6% of millennials, 5 or 6% of millennials that are evangelicals, and they take a position against homosexual marriage.
Wow.
5 to 6%. So these people out there, these Christian ministries that are pretending that American Christianity is still this gigantic force in America, and we're going to make all kinds of progress with our ministries. No. We are in the minority, my friends. Now, of course, we're the David against Goliath and so forth, but I think we need to understand the cultural upper hand that homosexuality and sexual sin has had on this nation. When you have the Supreme Court of the United States legitimizing the killing of 100 million babies and legitimizing homosexual marriage, friends, this is the most abominable sin approved of by the most powerful principalities and powers in the nation, and you're saying Satan's not involved in this?
Yeah.
You're saying that Satan is not involved with Justice Kennedy in his decision to bring homosexual marriage into America? That is the Neronic vision from Caesar Nero that appeared in AD 66, around the same time the Great Persecution was launched against the Christian church. Are you saying that Satan is not involved at all in what is going with the Supreme Court of the United States? Friends, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against Justice Kennedy, primarily. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Well, we're going to talk about exorcism next on the Generations broadcast, because Satan and the demons do have some ability to tempt and to oppress the church at points as well. So what do we do as Christians on this one? We're going to try to draw from biblical principle as much as we can in the next segment of the program. Stay tuned. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost?
Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast to speak of exorcism on this edition. And we have seen the rise of demonic activity, I believe, in this generation when I was on the mission field in Japan, where there was very little influence of the Christian church. There seemed to be a constant recognition of the demon world on the part of the unbelieving Japanese. And the signs of demonic activity in certain individuals, that would be a fairly common experience for missionaries. And that was not so much in America at that time, but you go past the 1970s into the 1990s into the present day, and I think you're going to find increasing levels of demonic activity in relation to our churches as well. And I think our church has run into some instances of spiritual oppression as well. And so we want to be equipped for this. We want to be sure that we are ready to deal with this on a spiritual level, as in equipped, Ephesians chapter 6, equipped as in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6, the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God, through the casting down of strongholds. So there's two traps, I think, that we need to watch out for, two ditches on this. The one is to ignore and to take the demonic activity too lightly. On the other hand, some overplay the power of the demonic world, and we don't want to do either of these.
Yeah, and you can fall into either ditch. You can just deny that the spiritual realm exists except for God, but, I mean, if you're going to believe in God and believe in His Word, He talks about angels and demons as well. But then there are some people out there that they see demons everywhere. like what Brad Stein said, you know, the Catholic Church tends to see Mary everywhere, and a lot of the Protestants see demons everywhere. And yeah. So
there's an overemphasis upon the demon world among some of the Protestants. And in fact, there are Protestant exorcist ministries out there. And we actually visited one of the sites. We will not publicize that site.
No, we will not.
But you and I watched the video.
Yeah.
And we watched a video of an exorcism.
Yeah. At least a supposed exorcism.
Yeah, that's right. As it was presented. And this particular ministry offers a school of exorcism in which you can achieve an apprentice level, and that'll run you a grand. So you take this course, it'll run you $1,000, you'll be an apprentice. For another $1,000, you're at warrior, and another $1,000, you're an exorcist. You actually achieve exorcism, exorcist level. For $3,000, you can become a professional exorcist with this particular training provided by this Protestant ministry.
Yeah, and that it's he's been around for quite a while. And has been trying. You would think that if you were able to do this, that you wouldn't have to train people for $3,000. It's kind of like what I think Martin Luther talked about, that if the Pope really could free people from purgatory, why does he need money? Why couldn't he do it just out of love?
I'm not big on paid counseling.
Yeah.
I'm not big on that. I don't know why the Christian church has gone towards paid counselors. You know, Jesus never said, give me $500, I'll fix your marriage.
Yeah.
For $1,500, I'll get you saved. You know, you don't get that from Jesus, do you?
No.
It just seems like there's something wrong with this approach. Jesus didn't say, okay, 70 guys, you guys want to cast out demons? Okay, it'll be $3,000 each. Judas, where's the money bag? Where's the money bag, Judas? That's $210,000. So what we're going to do is we're going to train all 70 of you. Now we need $3,000 from each of you. It's just something wrong with that. It seems to me there are some things that should not be monetized.
Yeah, and merchandised and all of that. So, in that exorcism, one of the things he was doing was, you know, he had a crowd there with him.
Yeah.
And so he said, okay, we're getting ready to cast this thing out. I'm going to need some help. Everybody get out your crosses.
Yeah.
And I noticed that every one of them was exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah. They were all the same crosses. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I almost expected him to say, now, if you didn't get one, if you don't have one, we have them for sale.
$21.95.
Yeah, out on the on the tables in the back.
$21.95. We'll get you a few more crosses. But we watched that exorcism. Thoughts on it? Now, again, we're not going to play this on the radio. But what were your thoughts on this particular presentation of an exorcism?
Well, the first thing was that the gentleman who was being exorcised seemed to at least acknowledge that Christ existed and may have, I don't know if he claimed to be saved or not, but was saying that there was a generational demon that was, or set of demons that were in him from the time of the Incas 52 generations ago. And that eventually came out. That the person who was the exorcist whacked him with the Bible several times. I mean, actually thumped him. You know, he touched his right arm, left arm, then whacked him in the chest.
Why
with
did he do that? I couldn't understand why he whacked the guy with the Bible four times.
Yeah,
I got the sense there was this powerful personality that was really pressing in. And, you know, it's not the arm of the flesh that needs to accomplish that, literally. I mean, you know, the big old arm with a big old whack on the back. I'm not sure that's the way to do an exorcism.
Yeah. And then he'd get out his cross and he would press it against his head, press it against his chest, and, you know, and then kind of yell at him. I mean, it wasn't really screaming. It was more authoritative. Say this.
Right.
And, you know, trying to
get him
to say stuff.
The other thing that I did not hear was the name of Christ.
Not during the entire process, but afterwards, they gave acknowledgement that, you know, Jesus did this.
Yeah.
But it was after it was all
during.
Over. Yeah.
And it seems to me that we need to speak under the authority in the name of Jesus, the true and living Christ on the right hand of the Father. It seems to me that would be important if we are interacting with the demon world, because I think what happens is we can fall into the trap of Jude, who presents those who speak wrongly of dignitaries, and even the demon world. It turns out that Michael the Archangel said, "The Lord rebuke you," as he was wrestling with Satan. And as Christians, we have no business, you know, shoving the demons around apart from the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a principle that I just didn't pick up in that video that I watched.
Yeah, it almost seemed like the authority of the exorcist and then sort of tacit.
Oh, yeah, there's Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus did this. And also the use of things. It was almost like this was that there was a formula. And that kind of comes out with what you think of as a class. You know, so if you're going to take this class to become an exorcist after your $3,000, that there must be sort of a process to do this. Yeah.
Well, that's typical American Christianity, reducing everything, including conversion, by the way, to a process, to a recipe. Just step through these four or five steps and we'll get you converted. It's very, very man-centric, and it hasn't been healthy for the church.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
I would totally agree with that.
Well, friends, what do you do when you've got demonic influences in your community or in your family, or perhaps the church senses there's a demonic presence, there's a demonic influence that's going after somebody? What do you do? Do you go around looking for the expert on exorcism, the guy who can pray the right prayers, the guy who's got the right recipe, the guy, or are we looking for somebody who has a relationship with Jesus?
Yeah, who can preach the gospel.
Yeah, he yeah. knows Jesus. He's been walking with Jesus. He's got faith. He's a man of prayer and fasting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the basic stuff. It's not, where's your certificate? Have you been certified to be an exorcist?
Yeah.
We don't need that. We need a man of faith, a man filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Does that make sense? Am I being too simple here?
And I don't think so, because, you know, he leads us into power. It's not us that does this. It's Christ in us by his Holy Spirit that we could do anything. I find it interesting that Jesus didn't even do miracles until the Holy Spirit came upon him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was by the Holy Spirit. So if we see any type of miracle, it's not because I laid hands on you. It's Christ in me by the Holy Spirit that, you know, is using his power through me.
And when the disciples could not cast that big demon out of the little boy, you remember at the foot of the hill of the Mount of Transfiguration.
Yeah.
You remember he was upset. Jesus was upset. Jesus was saying, there's a lack of faith here. He said, if you have the faith as a mustard seed, you could just move this mountain from right here to over there. He says, the issue is faith. And then he also said that this kind comes not out, but by prayer and fasting. So in other words, what are we looking for? We're looking for a man of faith, a man who is given to prayer and fasting. There's somebody in the church who just, he's 6, 7, 8 hours a day in prayer and fasting. He doesn't attend Exorcism 101 and Exorcism 201 and 301 and give his $3,000 and got the certification. He doesn't have any of that. What he has is faith. Men of faith. Now, in lieu of not having faith, you might need a certificate.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah. You might need to go to the Sons of Siva School of Exorcism.
You might need to. Yeah. Exactly. No, I wouldn't recommend that.
No.
I would not recommend that. A couple other things that come to my mind as we consider the modern issue of exorcism, and that is, do we fear God first and foremost and recognize the absolute authority of the Lord Jesus Christ on the right hand of the Father? And this certainly was the way with the apostles. They understood the authority of Jesus. Here, the other thing is, we need to be aware of whether there's conversion, whether there's oppression or possession. I don't believe that Christians can be possessed.
No.
But there may be some who are seeking Jesus who are being oppressed and may be possessed. And so I think we need to be somewhat sensitive to the situation. Jesus said, you know, you cast out a demon out of the house, the 7 worst ones will come back in if the house is empty.
Right.
And I think what he means by that is if there's an individual who does not receive Jesus, he is not indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. He's been delivered of one, and yet the Holy Spirit of God has not entered into the man. He is subject to even worse problems in the future.
Yeah, because you end up operating only on feelings and emotions, and that can only take you so far. And once that goes away, then you're going to go back into apathy. And I think apathy is one of the biggest issues. When you just are apathetic and depressed and lonely, you know, I think that you're ripe for oppression.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, you want to be sure there's an interest in Jesus as you interact with some of these spiritual problems that are out there. Sometimes there are exorcisms to get the demons out of the way, as Paul did with the sorceress.
Yes.
In, I believe it was Acts 16. That's what got him all the trouble.
Yes.
In Philippi.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some would insist that Satan is bound. And eschatologically, it's just impossible that demons have much influence today. I would take some issue with that. I believe that demons are here and there, and there is demonic presence here and there, and we should be aware of it. However, I don't think most demonic influence in the Christian church, in the Christian life, has to do with, you know, weird voices, strange vomiting, and just the odd things that you see in the Hollywood movies. It turns out that so much of satanic attack is satanic temptation, in which Satan is tempting us to anger, to violence, to lust. It turns out that Satan is ranging about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, but he does so by deceit. He does so by temptation. He presents sin in a good light. And you'll find yourselves sometimes going after your friends who have abandoned you in the lurch, as Peter abandoned Jesus. And Peter abandoned Jesus, denied Jesus, because Satan has sifted him like wheat. So these are the indications of satanic involvement. When there's, you know, strange interruptions between relationships in the church. Brothers and sisters, at one time they were very close, but now they're not. What's going on here? Satan is sifting. Satan is sifting. When there's a blinding, a deadening, an insensitivity to the truth, as you mentioned, I think Satan is working in those circumstances. You see people like walking half alive. They're half interested. They're hardly able to listen to you. Well, that's the birds of the air are there to take away the seed that was sown. See, again, where there's blinding, where there's deadening, where there's insensitivity to the preached word of God, this is satanic. Satan's angels, the birds of the air, are active during the teaching and preaching in the church. Satan brings diversions that get in the way of preaching the gospel. Satan is big on this. I think this is one of the number one strategies of Satan. He'll get us arguing over whether the Council of Foreign Relations is taking over the world or not. Or he'll get us arguing over whether, you know, certain pro-life legislation is better than other pro-life legislation or whatever. He'll get the faithful arguing with each other. And they're arguing over diversions.
Yeah.
They're constantly running into the post office, smoke bombs in the post office, but they're ignoring the real issues where somebody's robbing the bank. Satan encourages you to hold things against your brothers and not forgive them. Think of 2 Corinthians 2:11. Paul says, forgive your brother. Forgive your brothers, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So be sure that you're forgiving your brothers and sisters in Christ. And Satan also creates insincerity and fakiness and frauds out of professing Christians. We see that with Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the peace of the land? So there are instances in which Satan is applying his devices in the church, and this happens so often within the church. And it's for us to be aware of these things. We're to pray through them with faith. We're to fast through them with faith. We should call upon the Holy Spirit of God to enter into us, because he's given us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind to engage the satanic temptations and oppressions of the day. So let's be sure that we're applying biblical truth to the issue of Satan's involvement. And most important of all, invoke the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Indeed, David says, I come to thee not with the sword, not with the spear, not with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. And that's how he cast down that giant. And we do the same thing as Peter and John did in the temple. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So claim the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that is included in that name, the name of Jesus, who's above all names, who is the power over all powers, who is above all principalities and powers, and he's above all things to the church. Claim the power and the influence and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ as you get involved in these spiritual battles. I hope that helps our listeners as we wrap up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. I would encourage you to our Bible study guides through the book of Psalms. More than anything else, equip yourself with the Word of God. And the book of Psalms is probably the most important book of the Bible to equip you to spiritual warfare. Why do Christians lose in spiritual warfare? Well, they're not praying the Psalms. They're not singing the Psalms. They're not living the Psalms. They're not believing the Psalms. Psalms is the book of Scripture that will equip you and your children for the intense spiritual warfare that you will face in your life. That's why we put together the Psalms Bible Study Guides as the very first books published by this generation's radio ministry. I encourage you to our Psalms Bible Study Guides, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.